get Fabian introduction, but I haven't gotten an introduction, so we'll just move along. Okay? Good morning again, everyone. It's always a pleasure
to speak with you. You know, I've not done many of the Sunday mornings. I've done mostly Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. But I'm with you this morning. Now, like us, in this lesson that we'll be looking at this morning, there are a number of thoughts I would like us to consider, I would like us to reflect on. One of the things that we'll be looking at this morning is that in life, sometimes people will look to be successful, but if they have not given their lives to God, that success is a failure. And those of us, our lives might seem like it's not going anywhere. Even as Christians, sometimes you may even ponder about this. But once you are in Christ, you are successful. It doesn't matter if you are not doing well in your work, at your business. In life generally, you might have hardships. Am I correct? But once you are in Christ, you are successful. And you cannot allow other people also to define your life. You know, sometimes people say some things to you, and it discourages you. They'll say to you, Fabian, well, you're not going anywhere, man, in life. You have done this and you have done that. But you have not seen you making any progress. And that word, it's a sometimes word don't hurt you, but it might very well just pierce your heart. But even in that context, once you are a child of God, you are what? Successful. So in this lesson, we want to look at that as one strand of thought. We also want to look at Christ himself. In the last moments of his life, when he was about to be what? Crucified. We want to examine Christ at that time of his life. We don't just want to look at the physical torment. And we all know about the physical torment, and it was terrible. But we want to look at the mental anguish and the mental torment and the different situation that Christ had to face going to his crucifixion. Where everything that he did in the eyes of the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders, it seemed like this man was a what? Failure. That everything for him was now done. The stone was now sealed. And everything about Christ was now going to be forgotten. All of his teachings, all of his achievements, would seem now like nothing at all. Yet, in that seemingly defeat of Christ, there was the victory. And there was a victory that he prepared for me and for you. That's why we are here today. The next part of this lesson, as I present it to you this morning, is not just for you to hear the words that I'm saying, but I want you to apply it to your life, but even go further, I want you to reflect on it so that your reflection can cause you to change your what? Behavior, even as Christians. Because even as Christians, sometimes we have not valued very highly what Christ has done for us. We take it very cheap. We don't put any value on it whatsoever. And because we have not put any value on what Christ has done for us, although we are baptized and we say we are believers, we have not risen yet to what God wants us to do. And for those of us who are not yet Christians, who are here this morning, I want to see Christ as the victorious, resurrected Son of God. Not just this man you heard about occasionally when you turn on your radio and you don't pay much attention to him at all. You might be very much like those people in those days that write him off. You are not to write off Christ. If you don't deal with him now, you can deal with him sometime down the road. So deal with him now. Now let us turn to the passage of scripture that was read this morning. Matthew chapter 27, 62 says, "Now the next day, that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees, they came together unto Pilate." No, Christians, they're not satisfied enough that they crucified the man, you know, Brother Bean. They're not satisfied with that. They put him to a scandalous death. He is now dead. But they're not satisfied with that. They still have things to say. Listen to him. Listen to them now. Saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will what? Rise again." Now, I want you to pay attention, Christians and visitors, to how they describe Christ. They describe Christ as a deceiver. Now, remember what I said earlier. Don't let anybody define your life for you. You know what you are capable of. You know the opportunities that you are presented with. You know the challenges that you face in your life. Don't let anybody define you and belittle you in your life. Now the man is dead, and the legacy that they want to give him, Fabian, is that he was a deceiver. They want us to remember him as a deceiver, one who deceived people. That's what they want us to remember Christ as. That's what they had in their mind about him. And although they say he was a deceiver, you notice that they were still afraid of him. That they still wanted to do something about his situation even after he was dead. No, the most hurtful thing that can happen to you, if in those moments by yourself, when you think that you have not achieved anything, when you think that you are moving forward but you are moving backward, that ever happened to you yet? Yes. You don't see any movement. I say to you, once you are a child of God, Satan only wants to dwell on those material things. Because you'll always have people in life who are worse than you. And you will always have people in life who are what? Better than you. Don't judge yourself by other people. Don't buy into other people's definition of you. Christ was no deceiver. His legacy was no deceiver. That was said hundreds of years, thousands of years ago, and see us here today. We are going to God through who? Christ. He was no deceiver. After 3 days, I will rise again. Verse 64. Command therefore, they're still afraid of him, you know, that the sepulchre be made what? Sure. Until the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. They were so afraid of that essence of Christ's message. They really got the message, you know. They got the message. Christ had said it so many times that they themselves got the message that he was going to be risen. And they were so afraid of that. That what they are going to do now, they are going to, so listen to them now, come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he's risen from the dead. So the last error, what the word error mean? A mistake. The last error shall be worse than the first. You see how they are describing Christ? They describe him first as a what? Deceiver. and Christ is this mistake, this error. No, don't think of your life as error. Your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. God brought us here, and He has a purpose for each and every one of you in this audience. Your life has purpose. It's not a mistake. Despite what people might have said to you in the past, in their anger, they may have said to you that you are a what? Mistake. You are not to be here. Verbal abuse, you know. Don't buy into that. No matter how close a person is to you, if they told you you are a mistake, that's a lie. That's a terrible lie. And they wanted Christ to have that legacy, church. They wanted Him to have a legacy that His life was error, and that if he was going to be risen from the dead, it was even going to be a worse error. No, we know that He has risen from the dead. Church, is that an error? No. That's victory. That's real victory that we have today, that we benefit from. It's no error. It's no error. God planned it. Remember Brother Michel's sermon, who crucified Christ? God crucified Christ. Christ crucified Christ. It was a plan. Satan never had the upper hand at all. It was no error. Christ's life was no error, and Christ was no deceiver. Don't buy into what people tell you that you are. You are a child of God, and you are victorious in Christ. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as what? Sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre what? Sure. Listen how they made it sure. They're going to do two things, you know. Sealing the stone and setting a what? A watch. The way they seal the stone, it could hardly be moved from that entrance. And in addition to that, they put a watchman there, so that disciples could not come and steal away His body. But the title of this sermon is, the stone is rolled back. That's the title of the sermon. The stone is rolled back. We have the resurrection of Christ. And because of the resurrection of Christ, we have the victorious life. Am I correct, Michael? Of course. But it came at a price. That's what we're going to talk about now. It came at a price. This resurrection of Christ made Him able to give us what? Salvation. This resurrection of Christ enabled Him to build this church, which He had promised He was going to do. Upon this rock, I will build my church. He didn't just build it by saying, I'm going to found a church or start a church. He didn't build it like that. He built it by what He went through for us, and the humiliating death and the resurrection. That was what began the church. His body that He left behind. But let's see some of the things that Christ went through. For our sins. For our sins. Christ went through not only physical torment, but mental torment. Betrayal. People treat Him as a what? Deceiver. We're going to look at five things, five mental anguish that Christ went through prior to His crucifixion, and even during the crucifixion. The first thing that Christ went through is the mockery. The what? The mockery of His person, His life's work, His mission and work was completely distorted and looked to be evil by the people. So it's entire, can you imagine that you work, you have given your life's work to a cause, church? And at the end of it, people are belittling it. You have put all your life and blood and sweat and tears in it, you know. To do that cause, at the end, there is no record, mission for you. People belittle you. That happens to people all the time, you know. You work at a place, and all your mission, and everything now, they turn it and belittle it. Christ faced that. But he faced that for me, and he faced that for you. That was a terrible mental anguish that Christ went through. Let us look at the first one. Turn your Bibles with me quickly to Matthew 26 and verse 67. Matthew 26, 67. Listen to the Bible. Then did they spit. Oh. What did they do, church? Spit. No. Monica knows. And my children know. That I can take anything except looking at spit. They know that. I can look at, if I'm looking at a TV show and there's some blood, I can look at it. If I see blood, I can look at it. But I just can't deal with spit. You know, spit. Can't deal with it. There's nobody with it. I used to have a child at school, you know. He had some kind of disability. So he wasn't able to control some of his facial muscles. So sometimes you see his mouth. I just couldn't. That's something I can't deal with. But what spit does, not just the physical spit, but the physical action of spitting at something. You spit at something that is not desirable. You smell something stink, it upsets you, what do? You spit. You want to get it out of your system. You don't want to spit. So you spit on something that is completely worthless. Absolutely has no value. You spit on it. Now, they spit, the Bible says, in his face. Christ went through that for me and for you. What they are telling Christ is that you're garbage, Christ. What you're doing, what you did in Galilee and in these towns, it wasn't of any sense. No make any sense. You're an idiot, you're a fool. You're garbage, you're underrated, you're nothing. Because you're nothing, I'm going to spit in your face. People might not have spat in our faces, but sometimes the way they treat us at the workplace and so on, they have no regard for you at all, no respect. So they spit in Christ's face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. Then listen to them now. Prophesy unto us. You can hear the mockery. Don't you hear it, church? In their voices. Prophesy unto us, you Christ. Who is it that hit you? Who is it that smote you? They take him now as a laughing stock, Jamaica would say. All of his mission, all of his teaching on him. That's what it amounts to. That is what they would want. They would want his life to amount to nothing. They would want his life to amount to something you spit on, something that you hate. But when you reject Christ, and even here, you hear a lesson like this, and you go away and reject him, what you're really saying to him, you know, Christ, you are nothing to me either. You are nothing to me. Just like all, I might not spit on you, but you're really nothing to me. Just like a little convenience. I come and I hear you to this morning. I hear a lesson about you. But that's it. That's what you are. You're not a part of me. You're not going to give me any life. Leave me alone. Let me live my own life. You're nothing. That's what you do. Each time you hear a lesson. Am I right, church? And you walk away from that lesson. You're telling Christ, you don't really mean anything to me at all. You are just a historical figure I read about somewhere in the Bible. I hear people talk about you and they call themselves Christian. But you are nothing to me. And if you are a child of God, a young Christian, middle age, senior, and it doesn't mean anything to you either, he has come to church out of habit, then he's also nothing to you. So they spit on him. And I say, you spit on stuff like his garbage. And they mock him. Look at chapter 27 now. Verse 27 to 31. We just want to examine what happened to Christ, you know? Something that we really need to go back to that. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall. So it's a big place, you know, common hall. And gathered unto him some of the soldiers, the Bible said that? No, the whole band of soldiers. So a crowd is going to gather around Christ now at the end of his days. Not to praise him, you know, but look what they're going to do. Verse 28. And they stripped him. What did they do? Stripped him. That is the ultimate, I don't even know what to call it. The ultimate ridicule. It's like the ultimate ridicule, church. You know, it's like when people go to prisons, and I don't know if you ever watch the movies, they strip them, you know, and search them. And the way they search them is in some terrible ways. And they strip them. Is the ultimate, what call that again on you? The ultimate ridicule. You strip the man of his clothes. But you strip him of his clothes, not where you just have one or two or three persons there. You have the entire what? Band of soldiers. They really wanted to wreck him. These people. They didn't just want to kill him. Before they kill him, they want to humiliate him. They want to wreck him. Just like sometimes people might want to wreck you. They want to wreck him. So they publicly let him become naked in front of them. Just like that. The ultimate ridicule. They stripped him. And then look what they do now. They put on him a scarlet robe. Some verses say, some letters say, a purple robe. They put on him a robe. The scarlet or the purple robe signify royalty. But they're not saying that he's royal, you know. They say, oh, you were pretending to be royal. So we're going to show you royalty now. It is terrible. Just reflect on it for a while. It was terrible. They're mocking him. They're mocking his life. They're mocking his person. They're mocking his work. They're mocking his mission. That's what they're doing to him in the church. They're mocking him. They're saying, we are going to crush you now. We are going to crush you. And when we finish with you, they were not even going to remember you. When we finish with you, you will be finished. That stone will be sealed. And you will be forgotten. So they put on him the robe. And when they had plaited on him, the crown of what? Thorns, the marker, put on his head. They put it up on his head. And they put it on the nice side and push it on good. So it really prick him. And a reed in his right hand. And they bow the knee before him. This is mockery. And sometimes we as Christians can't even take a little ridicule when we are telling people about Christ and his church. We can't even take a little discomfort. Look what he went through for us. We must can go through a little discomfort. Look what he went through for us. So they put on him the reed. They bow before him. And listen to them now. Saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They're making a mockery of this man's life. They spit on him again, you know. And took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. But look at the ultimate now. They do a lot of ridicule, you know. I don't know which one is the ultimate. Because in verse 25 now, and they crucified him. And watch this now. And parted his what? Garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture, and they cast lots. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about this. We came into the world with what? Nothing. And we always say we leave it nothing. Physically. No. I have had situation before where I had to go to an infirmary. And when you see the person packing their little belongings, I don't know about you, but I felt sad at the time. Where the person, it dawned on you now that really all of life, this person just reduced now to just this little piece of clothes. And it's them packing it away. And you said, that is them. That is them. No matter how you see the person going on like they're big and they're successful, at death, it's just that little piece of clothes. And for me, it brings sometimes sadness, especially when they die outside of Christ. It's just that little piece of clothes they had. And that little piece of clothes, you know, it's going to rot in the grave. That's all they had. Now, the dignity now about Christ now is that Christ was not wealthy. Because he gave his life for us. His entire life mission. He didn't acquire any things, any goods. The one thing that Christ acquired, church, and I want you to think about it, that one thing that Christ acquired was the clothes on his back. The one piece of clothes on his back. And at his death, no. You take that away. But not only take away clothes, no, you make fun of him again by gambling who must get what piece of clothes. Christ went through that for us, you know. And we can't even as Christians go through a little discomfort for him. They take clothes and then they gamble on the piece of clothes that he had. Me, when I see the last of people, I always watch that. What they're packing away. I have to go to an infirmary, you know, the old people's home. They might have had their home and everything. But when they go into the home, now, it was probably 3 or 4 pieces of clothes that they pack away. I said, "Wow, really? That's it?" Yes. But for Christ, that was not it. So they took away his clothes and they cast lots. And verse 36 says, sitting down, they watched him. Just watch him dying. That's it for you. That's Christ. That was your life. And no fish with that, you know. They put an accusation over his head saying, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And even the two thieves that were crucified with him, one on the right hand and not on the left. That's his life, crucified with thieves. But watch this now. And they that passed by, they praised him and honored him. Did they do that? The Bible said they do that. Those who passed by, they praised him and honored him. Oh, just if you're paying attention, you know. No. And the way you fall asleep of me. No. Those that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. I know what that wagging means. Oh, Lord. This is it for you. When you wag your head, that's a body language, you know, saying that the person is nothing. The person was evil. The person committed some evil. So you just wag your head you wag your head at criminals, you know. So Christ is a criminal. So they wag their heads at him. And they say to him, "You say you can destroy the temple and build it back in 3 days. Save yourself." Little did they know that Christ was saving them. Because he had to be crucified. Remember Brother Mitchell listened? He had to be crucified. So he would not save himself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. It was because he was the Son of God while he was on the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him along with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. It's not that, he would not save himself. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. Listen to them. They said something's good about him doing that, because at least they couldn't tell our lies, so hear them now. He trusted in God, and we know that Christ trusted in God. So he didn't know even that. Let him deliver him now, if he will work, if he will have him, if he will have him. Of course God will have his son. For he said, I'm the Son of God. The thieves also were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. So he went through all those mocking of his person, that's the first point. Mocking of his person, of his life's work, mission, that made his message look evil. Sometimes people do that to you too. But the next thing that Christ went through was a betrayal by a kiss. The betrayal by a kiss. We look at Mark 14, 43 to 46, verse 43. And immediately while he had spake, cometh Judas, one of his own, you know, one of the 12. Now listen, Judas was with Christ. Judas saw the miracles that Christ did. Judas saw the teaching. Judas experienced everything. But in every school, every classroom, no matter how great a teacher you are, you're going to have a student that will fall in line. Judas should have known better. Judas betrayed Christ for money, and the way he did it too. So he came out with the multitude, and he betrayed him, and he had told them that the one that he kissed is the one that they must hold. So, as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to Jesus and said, listen to the ridicule. Master, Master. He never learned anything. Why am I call Christ Master? Master, Master. And kissed him. And they took him away. So, Christ, from his own 12, he never outside that, didn't you know? Sometimes you get in trouble or you're in problem in life. And you expected to be with you. They are the ones who betrayed you. Once you're a child of God, you still have the victory. Even that circumstance, you still have the victory. So that was the betrayal. And then we had the denial. Somebody who was closer to Christ than even Judas. Peter. Someone like his right hand man, you know. And Peter denied Christ. That was the next mental anguish he had to face. Peter said to them in verse 24, when he wanted them to believe him, he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, you shall deny me thrice. And he went away and wept bitterly. Now let's look at Peter. Peter was a part of Christ. He denied Christ. He went away and he wept what? Bitterly. All they're crying, listen. But Peter still rose up to the occasion to give that first gospel message. You might have denied Christ in some time in your life, but don't keep on denying him. Raise yourself from that. Right? Raise yourself from that and begin to serve him the right way. Don't keep yourself down. So if you know in your heart that you did deny him in different ways at your workplace and so on, get away from that kind of spirit of denial and begin now to live for Christ. Now, the next thing that happened to Christ is Christ was the Son of God, but we must remember that Christ was also humanity. He was also a human being. And we as human beings, we have certain great anxiety especially when we are faced with the prospect of our death. Yes. We'll do everything to get better, so that we don't face that. Even as Christians, we know that we are saved, but we still have that prospect of death. We don't like to deal with it. Am I correct? Yes, it's true. So even for the Son of God, who had fellowship with his Father, he also, as a human being, came to that. And he knew the type of death he was going to face. So he came to a place that was named what? Gethsemane, Mark 14:32. And he said to the disciples, stay here with me a little bit, while I go to what? Pray. And he took with him Peter, James, and John, his closest associates. I began to be sore amazed. The Bible says amazed. What does this word amazed mean? It don't mean that he's excited. That's what it means. You know, language change. It was like God put in front of him what was to happen to him. And he had to contemplate. He's not going to be away from the protection and security of his Father. He's going to be placed in the bowels of evil. Where is he going to be placed, church? In the very bowels of evil. And they're going to have their way with him completely. So he had that to contemplate. He just had it in front of him like that. He was amazed. He had to contemplate what was going to take place with him. But not just for him, you know. He had to contemplate that he's going to be doing that for who? For us. And he became very what? Heavy. That's grief, you know. And he said unto them, my soul. He didn't say my mind, you know. Because his soul got deeper now. My soul is what? Exceeding. Help me preach it. Exceeding what? Sorrowful unto death. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and he prayed again. But listen to his prayer now. If it were possible. But was it possible, church? No. You know why? Because God loved us so much. But God is justice as well. Sin had to be paid for. It was not possible. If it were possible, this might pass from me. The hour might pass from me. And he said unto Abba Father, all things are possible. Take this cup from me. Oh, he knew that everything was possible. His Father. But his Father still would not let this hour pass for us, so that we can be saved. That's what he went through in the church. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. No. Christ is going to be faced. He's alone on the cross. But you know, many of us know, the person who will never leave us, there's a human person who will never leave us. Anybody can guess who that person would be in your life? There's always a person who will never leave you. Once that person is alive, and that's your mother. That's your who? Your mother. Oh, gosh. If Christ saw his life as a failure, and if his mother saw his life as a failure, that would be a very crushing moment. But Mary knew, you know, Mary knew that Christ was not an ordinary person. Mary knew that the mission of Christ. But even so, although Mary knew all these things, it was still very painful because she is his mother. And she came to the cross. And because of her, Christ did not sustain a mother-son relationship until his final death. He gave up that too for us. So near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus saw his mother there. Now just imagine, Your life is now ending. But it is ending in a terrible way. It is ending where you seemingly have no success whatsoever. It's like those TV sometimes news. You see that the killer criminal, and we see crying on the TV screen, the murders. So it's like your life has no what? Success at all. You're born, yes, and you go through life, but it just end like that. Disastrous end, if you're looking at it from a different point of view. And then your mother sitting, standing there looking at you. Your mother. Just imagine that. That's like the... But Christ now said, Christ look on her. Remember, as human beings still, you know, he's human. He's Son of Man. He looked on her. When he saw her, he said to his disciple, we love standing nearby. He said to her, woman, see your son here now. And he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. So Christ gave up his mother. Well, that's a strong bond. At the point of death, he gave up his mother. I'm giving you all of the mental contemplations that Christ had to go through. So when you come to church, don't take church lightly. Let us go through it so. Because Christ did not just go through it so. It was a big, big price. O'Neill, tell me about ultimate. Was the ultimate here now, O'Neill? It was the ultimate yet. Because Christ now became sin for us. And because everybody that hangs in a tree is cursed. Not because he did anything wrong, but because of us. He's going to lose now the very presence of his Father. He's going to lose the very presence of his Father. Mark 15, 33 to 34. Everybody turn to it quickly. Mark 15, 33 to 34. And in verse 33 it says, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a little ounce of energy that he may have had. The kind of crucifixion is terrible. It drained everything from you, brother me. So he cried now with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which has been interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me? God had to turn his back on his only beloved son. Because in Galatians tells us why. Christ had redeemed us, Galatians 3:13, from the curse of the what? The law. Being made a curse for who? For us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a what? On a tree. That's what he did. Now, we have seen the first part of this lesson is what? That you can't make people define you. Once you are in Christ, you are a success. You might not have the big car, might have the $1 million, might still be struggling to pay the bills, but you are in Christ. You are secure. You are a success. Those who seem to be success, sometimes you don't know how they get their things. So don't envy them. You don't know how they get their things. Don't watch them. How they're moving on, that big car, big house. Seem to have no problem finding your... You don't watch that. Especially if they're not in Christ. That's a success. So that teaches us. Because even Christ's life would seem to have been a what? A failure. Don't it? Time, you know, take away him, even clothes from him. Half naked on the cross. The gambler wears clothes. The little thing that he had. And then now, so much ultimate ridicule he went through before the physical death of the cross. It was mental things he went through. For us, you must value what he went through. If you value what he went through, you will become a Christian if you are not a Christian. You'll want to inquire, How do I become a Christian? To serve this man that did so much for me. And if you're a child of God, you're going to want to say, I want forgiveness of whatever sins I've committed. I want to do better for the Lord because of what he went through for me. Yes. I want you to reflect on these things that I'm saying to you this morning. The Bible is presenting the lesson. Reflect so that you can change your behavior. And for those who are not a Christian, reflect so that you can change your relationship with Christ. You can become a child of his. He did all of that for you. And he was not a deceiver. Yes, he died half naked on the cross. Yes, the gambler wears his clothes. Yes, they spit on him. Yes, they put a rock and seal it. But listen to this. Matthew 28:1-7. In the end of the Sabbath, as began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great what? Earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back that stone from the door. Yes. And sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the same people like they put there to watch, the keeper, did shake and became a dead man. He had never seen anything like that before in his life. An angel coming down and moving the rock. No, that was what they put there. He couldn't watch that anymore. He became as if he was frozen. So shocked at what was happening. He became as if he were what? Dead. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't become like this man. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was what? Crucified. He was crucified. He is not here. He is not here. And that's why we are here today. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Christ won't tell a lie. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord had laid. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. Everybody said? He is risen. He is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. But even so, you know that even today, church, the people ridiculed Christ when he was alive. They made his life seem like nothing. But even today, it's not finished. He had the victory, yes. And we had the victory. But there are still people in this world that is ridiculing Christ and his resurrection and the mission and his church. Christ has left his body, his church, his message, the gospel. But men will still distort it. Men will still minimize its meaning. Men will still ridicule. Men will still take it lightly, make fun of it. They are still doing that. You know how we know? 1 Corinthians 1:18. Turn this for me. I want everybody to read that passage together. Everybody find it. When you find it, say amen. Let's read it together. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. This passage is telling you about something about yourself. If you think that what I preach today, Brother Gilbert, poor foolish is that, you know. You might not even call it. You might just believe that you are neutral to it. Neither here nor there for you. If that is your attitude, the Bible is telling something about you, don't you know? It's telling that you are what? Perishing. But for us, those of us who know the victory of Christ in our lives. It is the power of God to save us. Don't you believe that? Yes. Once you believe what Christ has done, Christ wasn't out of control. He wasn't out of control, not one bit. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to be the bowels of Eve itself. But he did it for us. God crucified Christ. Christ crucified Christ. Satan crucified Christ. But he thought he would crush him. He did not crush him. The evil men, the Jews, crucified Christ. They thought it was the end of him. He was just garbage to them. Nothing at all. Nothing to be regarded. But when God crucified Christ, God had that plan. When Christ himself crucified Christ, he had us in his mind. He was looking at each and every one of you and me here this morning. Remember, God exists in time, you know. So he saw all of us that would benefit from this crucifixion. And when they were taunting him to come down from the cross and save yourself, he would not do that. He would not bring up a defense to Pilate. He would not defend himself. He just remained silent so he could go through all of that humiliation. Ask yourself, could you take 1 ounce of that humiliation? I don't think so. Public display, stripping him, spitting, the beating, the taunting, the mocking, the crowning, which was not a real crown, the purple robe, the taunting on the cross, the putting his name on, above his head on the cross. You could go through that? No. He did it for you. He did it for me. And as the lesson ends, I want you to reflect. And as the brother comes to give the invitation, what song is it, brother? You have decided yet? 562. You are going to step forward. Mm-hmm. You are going to ask for prayers if you need to be strengthened. You are going to acknowledge that Christ was not a deceiver. That his life meant something, but it meant something for you. And that's why you're going to do it. And if you're a Christian, you're going to ask for prayers, yes, because you recognize and realize that you are not yet up to the standard that Christ requires of you. If the lesson, in any way at all, in any little bit, appeal to you, if you understood it, if you are able to apply it, if you can reflect on it, and you do what? Nothing. You know what message you are sending to God. But if you understand it, if you can apply it, if you can reflect on it, and if you can... Don't just watch the people here. What are they going to say? So what they say? What you want to be interested in is what God says. Am I correct? So you're going to come this morning and you're going to kneel at the cross. And when you kneel at the cross, you're going to meet Christ there. Because you know that he intercedes for you. Come on.